Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is George Gale, the Executive Director of National People's Action, a network of metropolitan statewide membership organizations dedicated to advancing economic and racial justice. Currently, he's helping lead 99% Spring, an effort designed to train 100,000 people during a one-week period in April to engage in nonviolent direct action to advance a vision of a new economy, as well as 99% Power, an unprecedented number of demonstrations leading up to and at the spring shareholder meetings of some of the most abusive and unaccountable corporations in America. Welcome to Background Briefing, George Gale.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
And clearly, the Occupy movement and the extent to which the notion of the 99% versus the 1% has become completely cemented in the political lexicon and in the national zeitgeist, if you will, in a curious way, it caught all of the sort of professional political activists by surprise. Just a group of people just decided to go out and do something, and they did it, and they caught the nation's attention. And then the various police departments, starting with the NYPD, closed them down. But it's not out of business, right? It's dormant, just like how things go dormant in the winter and then they blossom in the spring.
I think that's right. I mean, I think we're going to see a serious uprising of people power this spring. And the same issues and the same concerns that, you know, drove people into action in the fall are still here. They've not been addressed. So I think we're going to see people hitting the streets in different forms. It may not be occupying parks, but it's going to be certainly occupying shareholder meetings. I will say, I think one of the reasons the Occupy movement really took off is that the people that organized it really didn't pull any punches. There's a lot of folks in the progressive sector who spend a lot of time, you know, looking at polling and parsing messaging and trying to be sure they got the exact right language. And Occupy Wall Street, in particular, of the different Occupy-like occupations, just came out and really said, hey, Wall Street, big corporations, these guys are the culprit, and we need to take it directly at them. And then they push very clearly the inequality narrative, and that's been one of the biggest gifts that Occupy has given us, the 99% versus the 1% narrative.
So is there divisions within the movement? I've been reading articles that suggest there's a kind of Occupy purity movement, and then there's the more inclusive aspects of the movement. I mean, it's nobody owns this movement, do they?
No, nobody owns both the ideas of nonviolent direct action or the ideas of restructuring our economy and our democracy. But there's lots of different people that are really frustrated and believe we need transformative change in this country, and there will be different ideas around how we get there. I think the thing we can all agree on is that, you know, we've found the enemy, and it's not us. It's not, you know, communities of color, it's not immigrants, it's not working class families, it's not unions, it's not government, but it's the folks on Wall Street and the folks that run the big corporations who've clearly hijacked our democracy and are making inequality more and more rampant today. So I think what we're going to see is people come together this spring, particularly around the shareholder meetings, because I think people know that's where the power's at.
And the first one coming up, I take it, is Coca-Cola later this month. I noticed that Coca-Cola just pulled out of ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, who are the ones that are behind all the voter suppression laws that are being passed in state legislatures, and also the ones that propagated the Stand Your Ground law that is responsible for the death of Trayvon Martin down in Florida.
I think that's right. And I think that every corporation, you know, should leave ALEC, and I think we also need to, as John Nichols pointed out in The Nation the other day, really challenge all elected officials that are members of ALEC to pull out, because Stand Your Ground, which is front and center right now and should be, is another extension of what we saw with SB 1070 laws that really went after immigrants in this country and started with SB 1070 in Arizona, but that was an ALEC-created vehicle that has then been copycatted around the country. One of the big shareholder meetings that you will see the most people come to this spring, though, will be in San Francisco, the Wells Fargo shareholder meeting. There will be thousands of people there on April 24th showing up to protest.
And what about the Bank of America shareholder meeting in May? Because I noticed, and I'm surprised that this didn't get more publicity, the Dallas Fed came out with a very, very bold statement only a week or so ago saying that the big banks should be broken up, and this too big to fail phenomenon is going to come back and bite us again. And they were referring to Bank of America specifically.
I think that's right. I mean, if there's any bank that's bad for America, it's Bank of America. And I think what is amazing is, well, one, in 1997, there were 39 banks that by 2009 had merged into four banks. And the exact banks that we had to bail out, the Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan Chase in particular, all actually got bigger. So they were too big to fail, and now they're like much too big to fail. So we have to address the question of too big to fail if we're going to really protect our economy. But too big to fail is not only a threat to our economy, it's a threat to our democracy. These guys have too much control over the politics and legislation of this country, and we've got to take them to task. So in Charlotte on May 9th, there'll be tons of people from the state of North Carolina and from the region busing in to the shareholder meeting in Charlotte. And I know in North Carolina there'll be a whole month of action leading up to the May 9th shareholder meeting. And it's important to note that the shareholder meeting is in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is also where the Democratic National Convention is going to be. So we expect a lot of activity in that state.
And the Democratic Convention is June or July? I can't remember now.
I can't remember either. Later, you know, in the summer, but definitely afterwards.
Right, and then and of course, what I do remember about the choice of North Carolina is a lot of the union members who've supported the Democratic Party over the decades are not too happy that the convention is taking place in a non-union state.
Yeah, that's not going over too well with a number of.
Right, but on that subject. Within the 99% movement itself, there's all, you know, I've spoken to a number of people over since it began, and there's some sense of it being apolitical, not wanting to be co-opted by political parties, etc. Is that argument still going on? Because it seems to me the notion that the movements now, including people like MoveOn.org, the United Auto Workers, Greenpeace, Rebuild the Dream, the Communication Workers of America, it doesn't seem to me like they're trying to co-opt the Occupy movement so much as the Occupy movement has co-opted them.
I think that's a good way of saying it. I think that, you know, the Occupy movement has like created new space for people to really say what they believe. And I think if we're serious about transforming the economics and politics of this country, more of us have to close that gap between saying what we truly believe and then what we're comfortable saying. And so I think the Occupy movement is the best example of serious truth tellers. And so I think it has opened up new space that has moved people in another direction. You know, and I will say that, like, a lot, you know, it's funny, people talk about, like, well, is this, you know, why is Move On doing this? It's like, we should all be celebrating that Move On is calling to train a bunch of people in nonviolent direct action. I mean, who would have predicted that 5 years ago or 2 years ago? So I think I would just encourage anybody that's concerned about that to spend more time thinking about what a great sign of progress that this is, and that more and more people are going to hit the streets. Because I'm certain of this, there is no road to like transformative change that doesn't include both going toe to toe with corporate power, and it doesn't include moving more people into the streets. Like, we are kidding ourselves if we think we're going to really change this country without doing those two things. And so the fact that all these different organizations and institutions are moving that direction is something we've got to celebrate, we've got to get behind it, and we've got to help push it.
Well, clearly the Occupy movement doesn't have a monopoly on political action, a direct action. I mean, it was the unions who led the occupation of the Wisconsin Capitol, which has led now to the recall of the governor. And groups like 350.org led these mass demonstrations and arrests in front of the White House that forced the White House to postpone plans for the Keystone XL pipeline. So I take it the point here, George Gale, is that everyone's welcome, right? As long as you're prepared to get off the couch and turn off the TV and open the door and take to the streets.
I think that's right. The one kind of caveat, and I think this is really important, is that our allegiance does need to be to a set of ideas and principles, not to a political party. And so as long as we stay aligned with those big ideas, stay aligned with our principles, we can then shift the politics of the country in a different direction. But if we try to soften our message and figure out how this works through the polls and figure out how do we just speak to the middle, even though I would argue the middle is as angry as anybody, that then we're going to have mush. But we need to be out there, stay aligned with what we believe, and then we can shift things.
Well, recently I host the UCLA Hammer Forum here in Los Angeles, and we had Lawrence Lessig, speak with us, and he's a leading advocate of getting money out of politics. And he made the point, which I think is actually really a better way to frame the current political situation. He's made the point that, you know, our politics are distracted essentially by the left versus the right and vice versa, that the real divide in America is between the insiders and the outsiders.
I mean, I think that it's certainly a divide between kind of, you know, elite and non-elite is something you're certainly seeing. And if you, you know, I travel all across the country meeting with our members, and people are feeling really closed out, both of like where kind of big decisions get made around our economy, but also around our politics. So there may be something to that. Though I do think that there is a kind of a worldview and an ideology that is important for us to stick with around, you know, ensuring human dignity and work and in the community, to ensuring people have, you know, access to real opportunity. And I think that one of the things we've got to figure out is how do we move more and more both, you know, money and political power into the hands of more people. And maybe that's something that Lawrence would agree with. I would say that if we don't address the money in politics question, you know, it's just going to be a tough road for a long time.
But do you think, George Gale, that there is any way to say, you know, I wouldn't suggest form a coalition with the Tea Party, but in many ways, the Tea Party is made up of working people, middle-class people. A lot of people, of course, make the argument that they're acting and voting against their interests, but they did start as a response to the Wall Street bailout. And many people argue that that was the moment when the Occupy movement should have began, and the vacuum was filled by the Tea Party. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I mean, I would say, and that's something I've spent a lot of time thinking about. I think kind of following the financial crisis and then the election of Obama, that you know, progressive sector broadly failed to come in and very clearly kind of define who got us here and how we got here. And I think that, you know, in short would be Wall Street. And we didn't fill that and help people make meaning of the moment in the way that we needed to. We could debate forever the reasons we didn't do that. But in that hole, I think that the Tea Party and corporate conservatives came in and helped create another narrative and meaning around the moment, and that led to the growth of the Tea Party. So I do think there was a failure there. I would say, you know, that what is unique about this economic moment and what gives me hope around how we turn a really dire circumstance into something more positive is the fact that you really do have a majoritarian possibility in terms of you have communities of color who've been shut out of this economy for a long time. You have young people who are feeling particularly shut out right now, and you have working class families of all races feeling very shut out. So I think people are ready to galvanize around a set of big ideas, but I think if we go in for small ideas and small transactional change, that is not going to inspire and build a movement. But if we shoot for big ideas around restructuring how our economy works and who it works for, that's going to inspire people. But we can't be tepid and weak around naming who got us here. And if we continue to be that way collectively, we're going to be in trouble.
So it's not inconceivable then that there's some common ground could be forged in the future.
I think that's right. I mean, I'm not sure it's common ground with the Tea Party per se, but I do think that there are a lot of folks that might describe themselves as middle Americans or independents who are incredibly frustrated. And I'll just take our organization, National People's Action. We organized up until Occupy. We organized and put more people into the streets, pressuring the banks and Wall Street and the financial sector than any other organization. But if you looked at who came to our protests, I mean, this was very heartland, middle America, church-going folks who were just really upset that the banks had created this crisis and had gotten away with it. And so people who had never been to demonstrations in their lives took over the American Bankers Association conference here in Chicago, went to Wall Street to march on Wall Street, shut down K Street in Washington, D.C., went to the J.P. Morgan Chase shareholder meeting and built a bridge to cross the moat that surrounded their headquarters there. And if you saw the photos from these protests, this does not look, these are not professional protesters. These are not you know, people you often imagine in your head as protesters. These are folks that just see something egregiously wrong in this moment. And I would say in many cases, certainly don't identify as progressive. I don't know if they identify as independent or conservative, but just people that want to see justice.
Well, just in closing, George Gale, as the 99% spring gets underway and you're helping lead it and you're about to train or beginning to train 100,000 people during this month of April to engage in nonviolent direct action, and also unprecedented numbers of demonstrations are going to be taking place leading up to the spring shareholder meetings of some of the big corporations that dominate our economy and own our politics. Give us a sense of some of the training that's going on here. For example, I was reading that you're going to be training tens of thousands of people in arrest techniques. Wouldn't that be arrest avoidance techniques?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where you got that, but I think that...
I read that in the Huffington Post. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably wrong. But the... three things people are really going to engage in these trainings is, one, really kind of placing people's individual stories in the broader economic context is kind of the opening of the training. The second is really one part, a kind of analysis of this economic moment and how we got here. And related is actually people engaging in some visioning of what a new economy kind of with our values at the foundation might look like. And third, really around the history and practice, both kind of theory and the practical around nonviolent direct action. So preparing people to move this spring into the streets in ways that are beyond rallies and press conferences and marches, but more direct action focused, you know, not solely on corporate targets, but in particular on corporate targets.
Well, but much of the criticism of the Occupy movement, particularly from Fox News, which is frankly a lot of it's just purely manufactured, is about people occupying city halls and strewing garbage around and all of that kind of stuff. Is there training in sensitivity towards? Because isn't it true, George, that there's the Occupy movement is not just the people in the tents. It's those millions and millions of Americans that you talked about who support the Occupy movement and show up at demonstrations that are also a part of it, even if they're not in the tents. And it would seem to me that the best way to disinfect the negative propaganda from Fox News is to eliminate their propaganda, the possibility of their propaganda.
Right. Well, first, I agree it's total propaganda, and then second, I think this people will be trained to engage in disciplined, nonviolent direct action that really speaks to the moral authority of our cause and of the moment. And so we will definitely be drawing on the lessons from our, forefathers and foremothers in this work. And so I think it will really, and that's one of the reasons for the training, is so people really kind of have the skills and expertise around this. National People's Action's been doing nonviolent direct action for 40 years, but in many periods over the last 40 years, we've been, kind of out in the wilderness alone and not seeing enough of it. So we and others who have, training techniques around this are going to bring that and share it with others.
Well, George Gale, I thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with George Gale, the Executive Director of the National People's Action, a network of metropolitan statewide membership organizations dedicated to advancing economic and racial justice. Currently, he is leading 99% Spring, an effort designed to train 100,000 people during a one-week period in April to engage in nonviolent direct actions to advance a vision of a new economy, as well as 99% power, an unprecedented number of demonstrations leading up to and at the spring shareholder meetings of some of the most abusive and unaccountable corporations in America. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about, since it's tax day is looming, about what happens to your tax money and the priorities on how it's spent.